You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here on a beautiful Wednesday morning. 40 degrees in Green Bay, 45 in Appleton, 47 in Oshkosh. Special thanks to Jim Schiedel, Rate Mortgage. Really interesting stuff in our Moving with the Malcors. And it's a hot commodity right now, talking about mortgages, rates, and everything. Selena Darrow earlier, Rooted in Ink, which is a fascinating story. We want to follow that one. And we got another fascinating story. And we always talk to Jim about some of the reasons why Green Bay is considered, or, you know, greater Green Bay and the whole area, Fox Valley. There's so many people that go into businesses that really are going in for one reason, passion to serve people, to help people make this a better place. And that's what makes this area a better place. And none brings that into focus more than Jennifer Bourgette here with Counting the Stars Cafe. And they've got a casino night coming up. But I just want to read one thing we read with Selena's mission statement. I love this. At Counting Stars Cafe, our children are learning valuable skills such as money management, customer service, inventory tracking, and teamwork. They're not just making coffee and baked goods. They're also gaining confidence and communicating with people, our wonderful community members and people. It's a nonprofit agency that provides services for children with disabilities and their families in all of Brown County. The proceeds from Counting Stars Cafe will directly benefit our children's educational experiences, increase community-based opportunities, raising funds for extra field trips, classroom materials, enriching experiences that will enhance their learning journey and broaden their horizon, in addition to supporting our children's growth. I think that is very cool.
Yeah, Jennifer, this is great. Checks a lot of boxes. Mm. And would you come up with this? And look, I get the disabilities, working, learning how to make coffee, customer service. As I've said many, many times, I think everyone should be a waiter, waitress, or run for office, or both, because you really learn.
Service.
Yeah.
And how people maybe not always as nice as they could be or should be, and you can learn from that. Where'd you come up with this concept? This is great what you're doing.
So I have 20 years in special education in the school systems, and I've decided to start this agency to provide more of that wraparound support for our families and our children. And the coffee shop just makes sense. It's something that's easy for our kids to participate in. We're doing baking twice a week for the cafe. Awesome. So then our cafe is open Tuesdays and Fridays from 4 to 5:30. And then we are there two Saturdays a month from 8 to 10 or so. And so our kiddos need to learn how to cook and how to be independent with measuring and recipes and trying out different foods. A lot of them have, you know, food aversity or don't want to try new things, but they love all of our baking.
That's
They're
phenomenal.
Always begging for the treats.
And I like the look, and there's so much to learn in what you're teaching, but just the whole financial thing that sales aren't profits, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's expenses. And
yes, absolutely.
What are expenses? I mean, I teach a college class, and what are the expenses that they sometimes they forget, like, themselves, you know, like there's labor costs.
Yeah. And we can't eat all of our profit. Right. I tell the kids, if you eat it all, we can't sell it to make money to help us, you know, buy our ingredients. And
yes,
we all of our products are gluten free or gluten friendly. So that's more expensive. So we're trying to be allergen friendly and, you know, take those things into consideration. Some of our kids are also gluten free. I would say right now we're spending about $100 a week just in our supplies and materials to keep the cafe going. Mm-hmm. We are donation-based, so we do have a menu with recommended donations, but of course people have been so generous, they'll give us a 20 and keep the change. You know
I learned about that profit thing working at my brother's gas station when he'd come in after my shift, and he'd see about 14 payday candy bar wrappers in the garbage. He goes, do you understand profit? Do you understand that's, you know, that comes out of the, you know.
And we tell,
I just assume they're all free and we could eat as many as I wanted.
And tell people who are in the hospitality, you know, you're sitting behind a bar drinking up the profits, you know, we just can't do that. We've got to sell that stuff. And I don't think people, they need to understand that. And that, you know, when we say, you know, the last candy bar could be your profit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So why would you eat the profit of the company?
Yep. It gets or they all want hot chocolate. Or they all want, you know, all of our kids well, are like, what do I get for working today? You know, and it's like, well, and that's fair. We get paid.
30% off. But that comes up to you. You can get an employee discount. But then, you know, I had a restaurant one time, and I'm going through, and I'm gone. I come back through, and what, everybody who ate here was an employee? Oh, they're just giving it to all their friends, you know? I'm like, can't do that. You got to be working here. See, this education for these kids, the clientele, can anyone go to your place? Or tell me how I can get, like, son or daughter.
Yeah, so we right now are supporting 5-year-olds through 17-year-olds. We offer a whole variety of skills or services.
You have 5-year-olds working for you, basically?
So we do have a couple. We have
That's great.
Yep. Ooh, so we have a couple 5-year-olds that are down in the cafe.
Love it.
They're not working with the hot coffee, but they're working on their communication skills. And,
that's super. That's
great. We had our first week, our kids were like, well, what do you want? And by, you know, day or two or three, they're welcome to Counting Stars Cafe. Awesome. How can I help you? So, I mean, the amount of just communication that they've learned. We have one girl who uses an eye gaze device, and her parents programmed all of these sayings in there for her so she can use her eyes to communicate. Like, she clicks a button with her eyes, and it'll say, welcome to Counting Stars Cafe, and then...
How cool is that for you to have her involved?
Yeah, absolutely, and she just lights up the room. So, our kids are true inspirations. And we do... we have 5-year-olds up to 17, and we're taking the whole range of disabilities or labels. So autism all the way through ADHD, anxiety, kiddos with Down syndrome, cerebral palsy. So we don't shy away from any kiddos other than like severe behaviors. We just don't have the space right now. Mm-hmm. And so some of this fundraising will also help us start looking at a new building, and we need room to grow. So we've grown exponentially faster than I ever thought we could. And
sounds like there's a need for this, though.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And we're just right now in Brown County, and I'm getting emails and calls from people in 5-6 surrounding counties to come and help them with IEP advocacy, the daily living skills in their home services. You know, so we need the space and the finances to be able to expand to impact more families, for sure.
And you really want to build a great model, you know? Mm-hmm. I work at a homeless shelter and at New Community, and we have people calling us. But we've been in business, we've been at this location 20 years, so we really know what we're doing. And now we can, not that we're going to franchise. One of our board members, let's charge them, let's franchise. Well, I don't think we're going to do that. We want to help other communities. But you really want to tweak this and make sure that it's really a great thing. It sure sounds like it is. And I want to get back to the clientele. Were you amazed how many people need this, want this?
Yes and no. Coming out of the school system, I knew there was a need, and I did my homework. I met with our children's long-term care director prior and said, here are all my skill sets. Here's what I've been trained to do and what I'm comfortable offering. Where are your needs? Where are the wait lists? What are, you know, we've gotten kids off of wait lists that have been on there 2 or 3 years. And this summer, we were open 50 hours a week for our kids, 7 to 5 every day. And, that's just unheard of in our area. And so to give parents the ability to work and to get their lives in order while their kids are being taken care of and taught skills.
I just want to read this again. We're thrilled to announce an exciting new venture here at Counting Stars, the Counting Stars Cafe. The cafe will be run by the children of our community. We're eager to learn and work hard. Our cafe not only serves delicious coffee and fresh baked goods, but also serves as a hand-on learning experience for our young stars. At Counting Stars Cafe, our children are learning valuable skills such as money management, customer service, inventory, and teamwork. Not just making coffee and baked goods, also gaining confidence in communicating with all of our wonderful community members. Counting Stars is a nonprofit agency that provides services for children with disabilities and their families in all of Brown County. I think that's such a wonderful thing. I get all the respect in the world for special ed teachers, and I'm serious. You guys are a special breed with the care, the patience, the concern you have for those kids. I mean, it's wonderful to watch you folks work. And I've done some things at Aspiro and different places like that. And that's a special breed of people that do these things.
And we really do fall in love with all of our kids and our families. We always say we're part of their village now. They're stuck with us. Not everybody has a village of support around them.
Right.
And that's what we really want to be. We don't want, you know, we're not just teaching daily living skills 2 hours a day and then sending your kid home. Like I said, we're in the homes. We're in the community. I'm going to their IEP meetings to help push for better services, more time in school. And supporting these families who don't know the questions to ask or, you know, how to get what their kids deserve.
I think it's great.
Yeah, I think the other thing that you're bringing that this we lack, and not just with your clientele, with so many, is working together as a team. Mm-hmm. Even medical school now, when we were, of course, I'm older than you, but the smartest kid became the doctor. Well, it's not always that way. It's people who can get along, because sometimes you get three, four doctors. And where I teach, we have to do group projects. And people are like, oh, you know, Mr. Schmidt, I'd like to do this by myself. It's like,
coming from you who hated group projects when you were a student. And you've told me
he's
that.
The mayor.
So go ahead. So go ahead. Preach to your people there, Mayor.
I say it's different. I think that's a real gift that you're giving these kids on working mm-hmm. together, because that's the real world.
And our older kids have become great mentors and friends to our younger kids. So our littles want to learn from their peers, right? How to do the dishes, how to vacuum, how to, you know, playing and socializing. They really do take the little ones under their wing, and it builds their confidence. They've created friendships, you know, that they wouldn't have otherwise. Our kids are often bullied in school. And so now they're creating those friendships at the center. They're doing sleepovers. They're, you know, on Snapchat with each other now. And I mean, it's created a whole different world for them where they do fit in and they do feel successful.
Anybody that would bully somebody like that, I hope there's a special place in hell for you. And I really truly mean that.
They don't. You know, they're parents. There's a lot more to it than that.
So it's educating parents too, right? Oh, it's educating the top down for and how we treat people and how we...
So what can we do to help with your endeavor?
There's a lot of cool things going on. And how can we help? I get the whole franchise thing, but I mean, what can we do here in Green Bay right now?
I would love for you guys to come in and have a cup of coffee. I brought you a coupon for a free bakery
I will do
item.
That. I wrote the hours down already.
We're there.
Yes,
perfect.
I'll be there.
And
not
then,
even a question.
November 14th, we are doing our casino night at Ledgecrest Reserve, and that's our fundraiser for the fall. It's from 5 to 9. Tickets are on sale now. You can find the link on our Facebook page, Counting Stars Incorporated. And tickets are $50 until October 15th, and then they go up to $75. So this is considered our early bird special time right now. We would love to have you guys come out and play some cards.
We'd love it.
We have sponsorship opportunities for blackjack tables, roulette, Texas Hold'em, and then our Vegas VIP. That's all on our website or our Facebook page as well.
What makes you think John and I gamble?
Yeah.
No, we do.
Well, even if you don't like to gamble, come on out. It's for a good cause. You can win some awesome prizes. And
tell everybody about your Facebook.
Counting Stars, Inc.
Counting Stars, Inc. People get all the information they pretty much need from there, right?
Yes.
Fantastic. I think what you're doing is a wonderful, wonderful thing for our kids in our community.
Thanks
come
for
on
doing
visit
we
anytime.
Will come out. You let us know. We're there for coffee. And you know what? You don't have to give us coupons. Jim will pay.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for being here. Jennifer Forget, Counting Stars Cafe and Casino Night. Wonderful endeavor. When we come back, we're going to start, or in a little while, we're going to start talking punk rock in Green Bay. A little bit of a difference.
Yeah, it's just, just a little bit.
Big job.
Back after this. Here, this segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors.
Pella Windows and Doors, we love them, and we talk about getting the look you want for your home, but this customizable, I don't use that word a lot. They'll customize your windows and doors for you. I love Pella, right? And you've heard me say that before, but they do come over to your home, and you take a look at it, and they have the laptop, and they show you different color doors, different style windows, and we ran an ad earlier today about Pella, about how good their products are. I think sometimes people, window's a window, a door's a door. Not true. They test the hinges thousands of times, and you get those windows, and our back door has that window with the blinds in between the glass. That's kind of cool because you don't have to dust them. And, you know, you can close them, open them. So they just got, I mean, it is. It's what?
You know what I do with mine? Somebody's out there, and I'll quick flip them open and scare the crap out of them.
That's do you do that? You got that inside the windows?
On one of my doors.
Wow, that would be cool to have.
Yeah. We have it. And they have everything at Pella. And like I said, just great quality. It's all true, tested. And then I like the variety they offer. And we talked about doors, even when we had the Melchors in here 2 weeks ago, we were talking about front doors.
And I think customizable is a word.
I think it is too. I said I don't use that word a lot.
Yeah.
Customizable.
Yeah,
I think it is a word.
You. Okay.
I didn't say it wasn't a word. I don't use that word. I would say like.
It's a lot of words you don't use.
They customize it, but yeah. Customizable is. I thought that was a Youper word, but then I looked it up.
No,
it's legit. It's a real word. So anyway, we love Pella. And to get to the pretty easy to do, just PellaWI.com.
There you go. And by the way, we have a winner in our listener from the furthest away.
Who's this?
This is Rick listening in Tampa, Florida. He says, listening today, keep up the good work. It's an enjoyable show. Rick in Tampa, Florida. Rick, you win yourselves a pair of T-shirts. One from WGBW, another from WISS. Both perfect for beachwear.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Cut the sleeves off maybe, but
you pretty much wore yours all over, where were you,
Florida.
Bermuda or someplace? Or? I think you went to...
Yeah, Cancun.
Cancun, yeah, Cancun.
Yeah, I wore my shirt on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I used to get a lot of those, the Mind on the Vin Man shirt. People would be in like Rome or something by the Colosseum. It's like, it's almost like the Where's Waldo type
cool
thing.
To take, yeah, it's cool to take pictures of certain things. And,
yes.
Anyway,
like,
yes.
Boy, we've had some interesting people on today.
Community people, right?
Tremendous. Good job putting this all together, Todd.
We got a lot of work to do in this community, though, and that kind of tells you that. Just, you know, in terms of.
We have people trying.
Right. I was just going to get to that. I think, but we have people who are working on it, and that's important because. Government's not going to do it, right? We need people to step up in the private sector or in the nonprofit sector. And what they're doing with these kids with disabilities and teaching them how to make food and how to work as a team and business skills.
And I mean, the same thing
terrific.
With Selena about having
gosh.
Adults
who yeah.
I mean, teach them to cook and
right.
do all these things instead of just.
And I think, I don't want to put blame, but we just missed a lot of that. You know, and I, as a parent, I think I tried really hard, but my kids missed out on. Maintenance things and just they're good kids. They were in school, they were working hard. But you know, they go to class now to learn how to, you know, find a stud in the wall. Well, really, to hang pictures, paint chips, just some basic things that are taught over at Home Depot. And they're in there, but they're in there with a whole lot of other kids too.
They've done polls. There are kids that don't know how to change light bulbs.
Seriously. Oh my gosh,
seriously.
Yeah.
These are people going into college and they've never had to do it before.
Wow.
In defending those parents, I just want to say that those kids weren't sitting around playing video games. Those kids were in ballet, they were in football, they were in music, and the parents just didn't take that time like our dads did and say, look, this is how you change the oil in a car. They just never learned that.
I was reading a thing on Peyton Manning, and he was in an article. It's like when he got to college, he didn't know how to use a can opener, the kind to open a can of beans or something like that, because he just always, you know, lived in the dorms and did whatever, and his mom did everything. I mean, and he was all just focused on sports.
Yeah.
But how important
it is
that?
True,
oh, my
know?
God.
And like and cooking. That's a life, basic life need to know that stuff.
At the shelter, we get people in there. And the other thing, everyone who is at New Community Shelter has a chore to do the day you get there. And, you know, it's vacuuming, cleaning. And some people... You think they're making it up. They don't know how to do some of these things. And we have to teach them how to clean, you know, the bathroom. And once they learn, it's like, okay, what the right stuff to use and how long, you know, you scrub it and everything else. Well, anyway, cooking, we did a little survey. And who would like to take a cooking class? Because cooking, for one, is difficult. I think we could take like 6 people in the class. You guys have been to our kitchen.
Yeah.
Maybe 8. I think we had like 20-some people sign up for that. So we're
going
to do it more often.
I will say this. So you guys have the facility for something like that. I mean, you guys basically have a full kitchen, a professional kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
Behind the scenes, so to speak.
Well, we serve 190 people a day. Yeah.
You teach them?
But I mean, for
are you one of the teachers?
A perfect
this
example
is,
for a class.
Okay. I would, and I could. We have someone who is in the shelter that used to be a chef.
Excellent.
So he's teaching,
so he
feels really, really good. He's actually been on my program. He feels really good about doing that. And you look at that, it's like, really? Do they have to learn that? But they do.
Yeah.
You know, pancakes, you know, that kind of stuff. That
I've never made a pancake.
Well, I know where they can get some classes,
John. Okay, 10 o'clock on Tuesdays, Johnny. That's when we...
I'm being 100%. I would not know how to make a pancake. You take pancake dough, right?
Like the batter in the box.
Or batter.
Yeah. Well, you can do it, but you can make,
Do you mix it with milk or water?
You mix it with, it depends what you're buying, but yeah, milk, eggs, you know.
Okay. Yeah. I literally have never made a pancake. You know what I'd like to know how to make? How hard is French toast to mix? I love
so
French toast.
Easy.
Okay.
Not bad. Not all right. Bad.
How'd you like the? Did you have that peanut butter and jelly sandwich? It was made on French toast.
No, I did not have. I should
Somebody
have had one.
Somebody asked me that yesterday. Was that made on French toast?
It was.
I said, I don't know.
It was.
But, yeah.
French toast, peanut butter and jelly.
My mom used to make me French toast Pretty sandwiches stuff. With like back bacon or Canadian bacon and cheese and melt those together with the French toast. Yeah. God, that was delicious.
Oh, that's, yeah. That's good. That's
well,
good
isn't
stuff.
That what's the, is it a Monte Carlo sandwich? Isn't there something that's kind of like that?
Yeah. Oh, it's is that French toast?
I thought it was so. French toast.
Yeah, I don't know.
With like the ham and cheese and everything all melted together.
Yeah, and now
I
we
love
just
those.
Go to McDonald's. We shouldn't do
it's
that.
It's a fried sandwich with ham, turkey, Swiss cheese, and mustard. And that, beaten egg. Yes.
That okay.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Yes, those
the
are
egg
delicious.
That you dip the French that you tips it. The
Does
bread
anybody
in.
Serve those? Is there a restaurant that serves Monte Carlo sandwiches?
NFL draft, man. We'll add it to our
There you go.
To our
there
line.
You go.
Add it to the menu. That'll never happen.
Add it to the list of things that will never come true. All right.
But I think today has been great to just talk about how, and even that mortgage guy was really concerned
was
about
great.
Kids.
Yep.
He's like, hey, look, I'm going to tell these kids, you can't afford yep. this, you know, and that's.
Yep.
Like our dads told us.
All right, we got to start a quick break. When we come back, we are talking Green Blood. James Baker and Chris Preddy talking about the amazing documentary they've been working on for a lot of years
yep.
on the history and the beginning of punk rock in Green Bay. It's a lot deeper than you think. They'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Of Mino and the Mayor, you can watch the show live right now on Facebook. Search for Mino and the Mayor or WGBW or Oshkosh Air Support and see the entire show unfold right before your eyes. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody.
Wow.
Great guests here today, and another one.
James Baker.
Mr. Baker.
How are you?
I am doing good this morning.
Jim's a little disappointed, I got to be honest with you.
Let's hear it.
He thought you were going to be the chief of staff.
Oh, man.
That James Baker?
Yeah.
Never heard that.
I get to meet a big time. This yeah. guy. Let me tell you about this guy. And Chris is on the phone. Chris Preddy is on the phone. You guys are with Green Blah. It's a documentary you've been working on for a few years on the history of punk rock in the Green Bay area. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Hey, congratulations on staying with this project. I know I dealt with you guys years ago when you guys were first doing it, but you stayed with it. Obviously, you've put it together. It's ready to rock. And I was just fascinated, even in dealing with you guys a few years ago, about the birth of punk rock. It was an underground type thing, but wow, would people, you know, Jim and or have talked, but if somebody has a niche, you'll have all those people come to you. You guys, or what you found out in this, the rock, the punk scene in Green Bay was really, whether it was underground or whatever you want to call it, it was extremely vibrant, wasn't it? And whoever wants to jump in, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say before you do it, we're so known for things, you know, like you said, paper mills, Packers, you know, but we're just not known for punk rock. And when I read about you guys, yeah. we should be.
It opens your eyes.
Yeah, there's a lot of connections, especially with the city and what has happened with some of these people that were initially involved in this stuff. They became business owners and, you know, movers and shakers in Green Bay. And there's a lot of people that were involved that today are pretty prominent in Green Bay with businesses and that stuff.
And they were punk rockers.
They were punk rockers for sure, John.
That's Chris, awesome. Were you a punk rocker?
I was, and I just kind of want to mention that, you know, when you say that it was underground, I mean, it really was in those early days. You know, it was like a select few people from different schools and different areas of the city, and you really kind of had to seek things out. It wasn't readily available. You didn't have internet. You knew you go to a record store, and there's like 12 records in a bin that's sort of like new wave or imports. So you really had to seek it out. And the thing that's special about Green Bay is, you know, we built this up into like a pretty big scene and a big destination for, you know, bands that came here on tour that, you know, really only knew Green Bay through the Packers. So I feel that we, you know, made an impact over the years.
That's awesome.
Smart the way you did that to leverage the Packers for your industry. I mean, a lot of us do that, but they are the front door. But to get them, how was the connection? You say it was kind of, I don't know, underground, if that's the right word for it, but it was such a not well heard of industry. How did you communicate with each other before the internet, before Facebook and everything else?
These are really great questions. So people made fanzines, which were these little magazines, and there's a guy in town named Norb Rosick. He goes by Reverend
Rev Norb. He's a good friend of ours.
He is. And you know Nob as well, his brother.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to mention him.
Oh, okay.
because he's used to be at work. Remember back in the day when you were part of my other radio show?
Sure.
And remember Nob would always do the that's what you guys said type
sure.
thing? Okay. And then Nick. And he's like, don't mention me because I might possibly be working.
Oh, so we won't mention Norb's brother then.
He's not listening because he's working.
So Norb was really an initial person in getting all this stuff rolling and making this happen. It was really just a bunch of misfits that maybe didn't fit in somewhere else or just were outside the box thinkers. Norb made this little fanzine. He had saw this advertisement in a magazine that talked about fanzine, and he decided he'd make his own, and it was called Sick Teen.
What was it?
Sick Teen.
Sick Teen, okay.
And it was known throughout the country and actually international at one time, and it was just this handmade, you know, magazine that talked about what was going on. It had record reviews.
Wow.
It had band interviews and that stuff, and it got to a lot of people, and that was our communication before social media.
Well, I remember people, awesome. Well, you guys talked, last time I talked to you guys, talked about literally you'd get a copy machine or something, run it off, you'd hand make a poster, and you would literally tack it up in record stores in different places like that, like Saturday night at this address, and that would be the venue, right?
Correct.
I mean, sometimes there were houses, right?
There were some parties at houses and stuff, and then eventually we gathered up at $50, John, and they were able to set up a show at Northside Bowling Lanes above it. And prior to that, there were a couple bands that were instrumental, the Miners and the Tyrants, and there's some connections with the Packers there, and that's
Well, Bart Starr, one of Bart Starr's sons, was involved with it, right?
Right.
He was bigger than the Punks.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was one of the guitar players for one of these early bands and actually practiced at the Starr household down in the basement.
Wow. And isn't it true that Bart and Sherry came to one of the concerts?
They did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bart and Sherry at a punk rock concert. I love that. Wow.
So what year are we talking about this? What about?
Well, for the film, I mean, we do trace it back you know, to, I would say, like the late 70s.
Okay.
There was another band called Just Punks that were playing, and that was right around 78. And then Miners Tyrants came along shortly thereafter. And then we pretty much, like, followed the scene throughout the 80s, end of the 80s. And there's a couple of events that go beyond that, like, to, you know, like the early 90s, mid-90s. But primarily late 70s and 80s.
And how are we doing today? You know, I don't follow. I follow music,
yeah,
but not as much as I do on the punk scene.
Well, you know, the thing is, there was a real lineage of people who were promoters. And one thing that I can say about Green Bay is, you know, in some of the bigger cities, like if you go to Chicago, there's like booking agencies and they're more big time promoters. But with Green Bay, it was the kids who went to the shows who were setting them up. And when we started booking, you know, like when Miners and Tyrants were booking shows at Bernie's Game Room, they were doing it themselves. We carried that along to Northside. You know, like Norb was one of the promoters there, Jim Runge. So these guys started that Northside era. And then like Jim and Kurt, Jim Baker and Kurt Christensen and some others started doing shows after that. Where I'm going is the lineage kind of continues on to Tom Smith. And I'm sure maybe you guys know Tom Smith.
Yeah.
He, you know, does the Green Bay UFO Museum and worked at Exclusive Company and record shops throughout the decades. And he's still booking shows today. And that is a direct lineage throughout all those years.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yep.
Interesting.
In fact, Tom and I did our first show together. I booked a show with Tom. That was his first foray into that. It was a benefit concert for a friend of ours who passed away, and we held that concert to raise money, you know, for the family. And so that's how that got started, really, with Tom.
So Green Blot is the name of it, the history of Green Bay punk rock, the first 10 years or so Friday and Saturday, November 1st and 2nd, film premiere at the historic Carlton Theater just down the road here, of course, at Walnut Street. How many interviews did you guys do over the course of this, putting it together?
Too many.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, so I tallied the list together. We interviewed 90 people. You know, some were a combination, like in groups, you know,
sure,
where we had a band with like maybe three members. When we initially started this, I still remember we were at a restaurant with Norb, and Jim and I sat down with Norb and said, hey, can you put the top 25 people that we need to interview down on paper, which he did. We sat at the restaurant, and Norb scribbled out the list. And, you know, we just kind of kept digging deeper. And the thing is, like, you interview some person, you know, one person, and they're like, they start talking about this, and like, oh, you should talk to so-and-so. So it kind of spiraled from there. But, yeah, around 90 altogether.
Wow. Wow. Chris, did anything surprise you? I mean, 90 interviews. Are you James? I mean, that's a lot of interviews.
As well as you know the punk rock scene.
Right.
Something had
like,
to come out that.
And you do like, something that's a 10, 12-year history. Is anything like, wow?
There's a lot of anecdotes. There's a lot of anecdotes that are pretty crazy that you probably don't want to hear on the right here on WGBW 97.9 FM. Okay.
Or
all right, we can walk
in Oshkosh 98.3.
However, WSS. We can go see the film.
I'm really. Did you? Okay. How much archival? What's the word? Archival. How much old footage did you find? Any old film
archives?
Archive. Yeah, but it's archival, isn't it? Archival.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Did you find any old film from the punk rock days, like home movies or anything?
John and Jim, there isn't really a lot of
that. That's what I was going to say.
But
they'd have to have borrowed their dad's 16 millimeter or something,
sure,
right?
We did. We do have some, and we've utilized it as much as possible in the film. And Chris went, and I went to, you know, long lengths to make that happen. And that's partly why, you know, going back, in, Jim, your question was, you know, 90 people to interview. It was really difficult because, as Chris said, we kept getting deeper and deeper into it.
Right.
And that's a big reason why this took as long as it did. It's a big project that had to be broken down into a very small project, you know, a small finishing project.
How are these people now, a lot of these people that have been in some of those bands that are, you know, middle American, mortgage and kids and soccer and all those things, what do they think when they look back at that era that they were in?
Chris?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot of fond memories, really. And, you know, we tried to, get a feeling for where people were. I mean, there's some people that came out of the scene that worked directly in music. Like Jim Runge, it was a tour manager for a lot of bands, including like the Black Keys when they were at their prime. We have a gentleman, Marky Anderson, who plays in bluegrass bands and is in the Minnesota Music Hall of Fame and has played Carnegie Hall. So, I mean, there's music connections, but then there's just people that, you know, there's people that own local businesses, a soup shop up in Green Bay, I mean, up in Door County, or skateboard shops. But yeah, a lot of good memories and a lot of people that continue down playing music over the years.
Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, Norb's playing in a band currently, and he started playing in, I don't know, 1979 down in a basement.
Wow.
So, you know, it was just good to, you know, I guess, look at that history of people.
What was it like for punk rockers in those days? Were they accepted, or were they considered like, ooh, stay away from them? I don't want you going out with a punk rock band.
We've got a couple of good stories about that because, no, it wasn't really accepted. And, you know, just venturing down the street on a skateboard, you sometimes, you know, had cars pull up and wanted to fight.
Wow.
Or in the mall. There was a show that happened at this venue across from West High School where the main band didn't play because, you know, a big fight broke out between people at the show and just the locals that were at the school for, it was around homecoming. Then we had a show at a biker bar in Neenah that didn't go too well.
Gee, I don't know why a show at a biker bar in Neenah wouldn't
punk
go well.
Punk rock show at a biker bar?
Yeah. Well, good scheduling?
Yeah.
There was a lot of name calling for sure, John. And,
really?
You know, even Chris and I both went to East High in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And we got along with everybody for the most part. But really, there was, if you wore a pin that had a band on it, or you wore Vans or shoes that were different than anybody else, and you didn't have your hair feathered back and parted down the middle with a comb in your back pocket.
Right. Those big combs?
It was pretty weird.
People
considered it, it was, for some reason, it was offensive to them. It really bothered them, and it really came out in a lot of ways. A lot of
it's like you guys were the Antichrist or something, right?
Yeah. Or anti-polka.
That too. But did you guys...
Literally wearing Chuck Taylors and having short hair was like a threat to society or something. It was very bizarre.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though, but it seemed like you guys, and I didn't know you guys at the time, but just in the punk thing, it's almost like that made you people a little bit more defiant. It's like, really? You don't like us now? Watch this. We're going to be louder and we're going to do whatever. It was, you guys had that attitude, didn't you? I don't think you guys shied away and said, we better not. We're not, with the cool popular kids anymore. Bleep you, bleep you, bleep you. It seems like that was the attitude of the punk rockers then, correct?
It was, for sure.
Chris?
Yeah. In fact, I just want to point out, there was a battle of the bands that happened at Port Plaza Mall. And it was a real interesting clash of cultures because we actually had one of the local hardcore bands, Prisoners of Society, that played at that show. And it was funny because there was a band called Excalibur that at the time was like, they were doing like Jumped by Van Halen and Panama and stuff like that. But they had all this, ridiculously like high-end gear. And here we are in the mall playing hardcore, stage diving, and showing what we can do in front of, the people that, gave us so much grief in the mall to begin with. So
outstanding. Stick around. We got to set our quick race. James Baker, Chris Pretty, talk about a really interesting thing. I will not miss this. I guarantee you, I'm going to come see this on the 1st or 2nd of November. Green Blah, the history of Green Bay punk rock. This is good stuff. You guys were there at the beginning. Very fascinating. Stay with us. Back after this. I'll tell you what's more. Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor, James Baker and Chris Pretty, the producers, directors, founders, whatever you want to call it, of Green Blah, the history of punk rock in Green Bay. Phil Premier is sold out for November 1st, correct?
It is.
But you guys got a lot of other stuff going on with this. Both you guys, James and Chris, jump in and take it away.
Well, we had film premieres set up for Friday night, November 1st, and Saturday night, November 2nd. Both of those premieres sold out. So because we want everybody to be able to have the opportunity to go if they want to, we set up another, a third showing on Saturday in the afternoon. That one sold out as well.
Wow!
So because we didn't want to interrupt the Green Bay Packers playing the Detroit Lions on that Sunday, we decided to put a fourth one together, and we're going to have a premiere that's not sold out yet, but it's selling fast. So if anybody wants tickets, you might want to jump on it. And that's at thetarleton.com where you can find tickets. And
wow,
as John said earlier, it's at the historic Tarleton Theater, and they've been wonderful about helping us out.
We're going there Thursday to see Big Band, but they have such a variety at the Tarleton. That's what I like about what Tarl does there. Still has those cartoons and cereal on Saturdays.
It's got the big food truck thing on back now.
Who's coming to this? I find this super interesting because I just love the city and I want to learn more about our history. But was there that big of a group or was it friends? That's pretty cool that you're selling out four shows.
So like Chris said, this started out, initially by just some young misfits that colored outside the lines, wanted to be different and wanted to make stuff happen. It really was a do-it-yourself or DIY thing. And that goes back to the Miners and Tyrants, some of the other bands.
Mm-hmm. There were no rules to follow.
There wasn't any roadmap.
Race. Yeah.
Which is good and bad, right? Because
right.
you had to go out and find your own venues. You had to go out and find your own places to play. And who wants to put on punk rock, let a bunch of kids come in with not looking, really.
And there might be fights or something.
You never know.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of, trouble getting venues and that sort of thing. But then as we talked about it, really grew. And it grew from, a small cast of characters to actually, by the time it got to ABC Boxing, there was a couple hundred people at this venue. And then by the time the 80s rolled around, late 80s rolled around and early 90s, there were 400 or 500 people at every show and then up to 1,000 plus.
Wow!
Did you have, let's say 78, 79, I think it started. Was there a tipping point? Was there something where you got accepted more? Where, you know how there's tipping points in a lot of things, often like, oh my God, this is going to work.
It wasn't really until the early 90s.
And was it one big band, or was it one, was there something, or did it just grow and then?
Yeah, I think it just grew. I mean, there was just more awareness. And, you know, the one thing is with Green Bay, we started to attract people from smaller communities around Wisconsin.
Sure.
So there was a big connection with, you know, like the Fox Valley. There were bands that we had play Green Bay regularly that were from Appleton and Nina and Oshkosh. But then there were kids that were coming from, you know, Manitowoc and Sheboygan and Door County, Wausau. So, you know, I think, you know, some kids just were coming to these shows, and the venues were a bit larger, like Kutzke's Hall that we had out in Howard. And I think just the word got out and people were having fun. You know, we were bringing in good bands, and next thing you know, it's like instead of two people coming from Wausau, now you've got 10 people coming from Wausau. So it just sort of built exponentially, I guess. And then some of the bands that were coming in, you know, like we had GBH from England that played at Kutzke's Hall. We had Fugazi, who are, you know, massive. They're huge. You know, that's Discord Records. So Dead Kennedys at the Riverside. It was just, you know, just attracted a lot of people, and it just built up over time. So, right, when you had that handful of kids that, you know, when we started that first show at Northside, we were hoping we'd get 50 kids to pay the bills. And, you know, it just kind of grew from there.
That is so cool that you guys were the catalyst of that. And people coming in, it was probably a big city for them. Some of these kids from Two Rivers, Manitowoc. But, I mean, for you to maintain that and, you know, obviously you put out a good product or they wouldn't have come back.
I think, you know, we talk about it in the film. There's a lot of these answers that you can find in the film.
Yeah, we're coming.
I got to see this.
So again,
you got to let me in somehow.
The only premiere that's still available, like we said right now, is Sunday at noon before the Packer game. So you won't miss the Packer game, you guys.
Was it almost in some ways when you guys were at the grassroots level and you guys were outcasts and you guys were almost like outlaws and whatever, was it almost more fun then being versus then all of a sudden MTV started airing some punk rock things and everybody all of a sudden, oh, it's cool, it's popular, look at me, was it more fun back at the start?
I would say 100%.
Always fun to be the rebel.
Chris?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is, but, you know, you feel like there's still a sense of community, even though it got larger. Maybe you didn't know everybody, but you met new people, and it was just great to meet other like-minded individuals that, you know, really got into the music. And sure, you know, kids came along later in MTV and that, but, you know, I've got to know like younger people involved in the scene, and they do like to go back and dig through the history and find things that are important and meaningful. So there's that aspect as well.
I mean,
it was nice, you know, being one of 50 people. I mean, that's kind of an exclusive group.
That's outstanding. You know. I have to ask a quick question though. Punk rockers, chick magnets, yes or no?
I wouldn't say at the beginning. I wouldn't say at the beginning, but by the time...
Not from her parents.
No. But, yeah, that was fun, going to your girlfriend's house.
Oh, I bet.
With a lot of gear on
sure,
some crazy T-shirts.
Oh,
how
man.
Cool that is, though, the example that you're is to find something you like and stick with it. I mean, you're a good example to the youth in the community. There's other things
and
that...
And be the front runner.
Right, and sticking with it, and even though it was... Yeah,
I think it's
got
awesome.
Great attitudes. I love it.
I don't care what you say. I'm coming to that.
Okay, so we have the premiere.
Yeah.
That's still available for the film premiere. That's Sunday, November 3rd at noon. And there's two punk rock reunion shows, which we didn't have time to talk about. And those are Friday night and Saturday night. And those are tickets are still available, but they're selling fast. And that's also at thetarleton.com.
All right.
Leave your information here. We'll promote that.
Thank you, guys.
Great.
Right,
James,
thank
great
you guys.
Seeing you again. Chris, great talking to you again, buddy. We're out of time.
All right, thank you.
Green blah, you can't miss it. See ya.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.